Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Oh, man, I like this. 512 Friday, that's when Patrick the Idillionaire takes jams from very talented human beings, live bands, and artists who you have a chance to see live right here in the ATX. Who are we jamming right now, Patrick?
This is Otis the Destroyer. And it is playing. They're playing tonight at Hotel Vegas.
Sounds about right. Otis the Destroyer. Okay. Yes. All right, there you go. 512 on the 512 Friday, 512-337-3776. That is also the number to the Specs text line, and you can hit us up there as well. You can also use the Twitterverse. Harge is at Hardball Harge in the Twitterverse. My man Patrick Davis at It's Patrick Davis, and I'm at Rod Babers. And for those who did not hear the news, this is Harge's last day.
Yep.
He's gonna.
My kids got
make his
a lot of
a little bit early.
Yeah, my kids got a lot of camps that I've been missing and games and stuff like that because that's what the job asks of us, right?
Yeah,
we understand that as responsibilities as parents. You know, you got to make the bacon, right? You got to make the donuts.
Come on now.
And so, with this situation that we're in right now. I think it's best for me to go and support what the kids are trying to do. They're getting ready to go back to school, too.
Yep.
So I got to spend some time with them before all that stuff happens out there. So I appreciate, again, you guys for being so professional with what we do, Rod and Patrick, and, you know, always having each other's back. We said that at the very beginning of our relationship. It was like, man, there's going to be some times I'm going to be out for, whether it was calling baseball games at Globe Life and Frisco and going all over the country doing a chance to call basketball and baseball games. And then, you know, Rod, you going on vacation, which you deserve a lot more of because of the fact of how hard you work. Patrick, obviously, you got a chance to finally take a trip to the coast.
Yeah, he don't take no vacation. Man, he took one, him and Luke.
Yeah, him and Luke got a chance to go to the coast and have a good time. And so we held each other down, and that's what friends do, and that's what partners do.
You're damn right.
I appreciate y'all being able to work with me and making things happen. So,
no doubt, man. You're extremely talented, especially when it comes to your analysis on baseball. I mean, you're definitely the best baseball mind I've worked with. I worked with some damn good ones. So, I mean, KD actually knew a lot about baseball as well. And he actually said that because KD is actually one of your biggest advocates coming in. I believe that was one of his suggestions was like, man, you got to bring in Hardball Harge. And he was right. It worked out. And
we had a blast.
So, man, people will have access to Hardball Harge. I guarantee you that this dude is not going away. He knows every damn body. He ain't going away. So if you don't just run into him and 6 degrees of separation, end up hanging out with him somewhere at some party or at some club or some bar, you will have access to Hardball Harge over the, whether it be something, you know, simulcast or multicast or somewhere. He ain't going away.
Yep, no doubt.
Trust me. So just be patient and follow him via Twitter at Hardball Harge.
No doubt.
That's the best way to do it. And follow my man Patrick Davis, too. And that's the beauty of it, that when we put the show together, and I didn't know this when we did it, but it's a three-man show.
No doubt.
I never worked with Patrick, so I didn't know if Patrick was going to be able to do the 5 to 8 jobs he already does on top of being able to be an on-air guy. I didn't say he couldn't do it, but I wasn't going to put that burden on him and be like, hey, man, I need you to bring it, too. On top of producing the damn show and cutting all the audio and the other 5, 6 jobs that he's asked to do around here, it's like, I'm not putting that burden on him. Patrick didn't look at it as a burden, obviously, because Patrick decided, you know what? I can contribute, and it made the show 10 times better. Honestly, I'm not sure the show would be as good, period, if you weren't in the role that you're in contributing to the show as a co-host.
I appreciate it.
It wouldn't. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, it wouldn't. It ended up being way better than I thought it could be, and I knew what Harsh could do. I didn't know what Patrick could do, and it was a home run. Like, it was a grand slam hire.
Yep.
All right. Let's get off the sentimental stuff. Let's get to the Big 12. Let's talk about some.
I'm sentimental about the Big 12, Rod.
The Big 12 ain't going away. You should be sad if you're a Pac 12 person, because the Pac 12, much like Ball Don't Lie, is going away. So you want to be sad about something. All right. You look at the graveyards, and the Pac 12 will be there next to Ball Don't Lie and Chad and Zay and some other shows, too. That's okay.
No doubt.
How about this? I saw this at Yahoo Sports, guys, and just talked about more of the ineptitude of George Kliavkoff, the commissioner of the Pac-12, and just the missed opportunities in retrospect. How about this? This is Yahoo Sports reporting. 2 years ago, after Texas and Oklahoma announced their eventual departure for the SEC, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby reached out to George Kliavkov, reportedly, presented a proposal to merge the two conferences.
Come on now.
And to share a media rights package, obviously a much more robust one when they would combine the leagues and establish, you know, kind of a scheduling alliance. We remember this was being talked about. We didn't know how serious it got and how far down the road they were. It said Bowlsby even flew to California to try to put the, you know, the finishing touches on this deal. The Pac-12 rebuffed the interest in a merger. And the league also decided at the same time to be opposed to expansion.
Come on.
Of any kind. Not just the merger of the two conferences, but opposed to expansion too. And now we're 2 years later, and we're looking at the possible, the beginning of the end of the Pac-12. Isn't that crazy? Like,
it's wild.
Like you,
it's wild.
That to me is that's a dang coaching mistake.
Because we've been talking about this for so long, was like there's like how are you missing out on these opportunities?
Yeah, give the Texas. You're right. Texas says, "Wow, props to Bowlsby for going after that." You're right. I didn't know Bowlsby did that. He was that aggressive. Good for Bowlsby. That could have saved Bowlsby's legacy too.
It could have.
It could have saved Bowlsby's job.
That's why he was sitting in the back with his arms crossed, like, "Dang it, they ain't coming."
But I don't. I still, if you had Bowlsby and Kliavkov, and no USC, no UCLA, no Texas, no Oklahoma, and those two conferences merge, do you still believe in that? With those two guys leading it, not so you know your mark.
Depending on the timing of it, though.
Yeah. Yes. Good point.
Yeah. Depending on the timing of it, you might have been able to salvage something.
Yeah. Because USC, I'm with you. USC and UCLA would still be leaving. Yeah. They were plotting that while Texas and Oklahoma were plotting.
Yeah. Yes. So we're saying if all four of the biggest schools out of those conferences all leave, and then you have you're like it's better than what there is now for the Pac-12, but it's not better than what the Big 12 has now.
Yeah.
Because now it's too spread out for the Big 12. And again, without your mark, if the leaders of this conference were Bowlsby and Kliavkov, they're going to screw it up.
Yeah, one of them would have. Either way, it would have been bad. they're going to be stabbed and shot.
Guys, we're the academic conference. No more NIL. No more transfer portal. We're just going to be the conference of that. And be like, no one's coming? No, it's kind of, like, you know, it's just something.
Is this thing on?
No, that's a good point. Yeah. I think, you know, if they would have merged, I'm with you. I think Patrick's right. You're still going to lose Texas, Oklahoma, UCLA, USC, and UCLA. They're gone. But now you're going to lose, at least the Pac-12, they're going to lose Washington and Oregon, too, looks like, as well. So you're going to lose your other kind of second-tier big-time programs. Arizona, you talk about Arizona basketball all the time. That's going to leave, too. So at least if they would have merged, potentially the Big 12, they wouldn't have. I guess they still probably could have went after a U of H and, you know, maybe BYU or something like that, too. But I don't know. There's an argument to be made that if you bring in a Washington and an Oregon and an Arizona's as opposed to the Cincinnati, U of H, BYU, Central Florida thing, that's more attractive.
I'll agree. I think team-wise, you're right that it's better. I think presentation-wise.
You're talking about TV market-wise.
Yeah, and what your conference is selling it as.
Yeah.
If you have two guys that can't sell water to somebody dying of thirst, then it doesn't matter what teams you have. You're not going to get there because the SEC and Big Ten are going to tell you that they're the best and people will believe it. And now you have Brett Yormark. So I'm saying no matter what happens, if Bowlsby saves his job, that's the worst thing that could happen for the Big 12.
And also, no, I'm with you on that. That's a good point because you're right. Either way, they're doomed. And because they had bad leadership at the time. The only reason the Big 12 was salvaged and saved and achieved stability is because they got new leadership.
Yes.
Yep.
They got Brett Yormark, who was a visionary, and that's what stabilized the conference. You still got Kliavkov and Bowlsby. Inevitably, whatever merger of those conferences would have happened would have failed.
Yes.
And they would end up – so I agree, totally agree with that. Also, this has also been reported in retrospect. Remember, Larry Scott, obviously the former Big 12 commissioner prior to Kliavkov. Remember, and I'll read this from the article, the excerpt. It said a day after a conference expansion, Armageddon was avoided with the Pac-12 taking a pass on Oklahoma and Texas. Commissioner Larry Scott was in good cheer. And why not? Because at the time, the Pac-12 still had the richest TV deal. in all of college football. Remember, that's why Colorado initially leaves. Because their TV deal is way richer than most of the major conferences in college sports. He said, quote, Larry Scott at the time, "We could have expanded, but the deal didn't make any sense at the end of the day for us." He said, "Given the position that we are in, there's a very high bar. It's hard to imagine very many scenarios for our conference to expand because the bar is so high." Essentially saying that some teams in the Big 12 didn't reach the bar at the time.
Right.
Wow.
He let you know.
You could have had, so I'm saying, when you look back in retrospect, there were so many opportunities for the Pac-12 to destroy and annihilate and dissolve the Big 12. Mm. And they just did. They let the Big 12 just keep sticking around. And now the Big 12 is essentially now the stabilized conference. And
crazy is that?
Yeah. And they're now going to in position to be. Remember those four super conferences we talked about that were inevitable in college sports? Yep. There were going to be 16 team conferences. Guys, we're here. This is it. The SEC will have 16. The ACC, the Big Ten, they're all going to 16. And it's a race to 16. And the Big 12 is in prime position to get there before the Pac-12. It's over. Check and mate.
Yeah. You snooze, you lose.
Wow.
You wait too long, and you're going to be gone.
That's
and now
crazy.
It's dissolving. And how – think about this.
That was in 2011.
Right. And think about this. Now that we're looking at the Pac-12, and somebody just put the Pac-6 right now, you have now –
the six-pack.
Not a nap guy. But you sit here and you look at this and you say, we have been talking about super conferences for a while.
20 years.
It is and
more
you,
than that, actually.
And you got caught slipping, and now you have dissolved an entire conference. An entire conference, an entire Power 5 conference
Power 5.
Has now been dissolved because you kept thinking it wasn't going to happen while it kept happening around you.
And think about it, guys. Like
that
I said,
is naive. Guys, you were like being naive.
15 years ago, they had the richest TV deal in all of college, major college sports.
Unbelievable.
And look where we are now.
Yeah, and I mean, unbelievable. And the other thing you have to look at, too, is when you look at what Bowlesby did and Kliavkov versus Yormark going ahead and getting the deal and going, I may lose a few million dollars in this deal and not get the best, but I need to get the deal done that there's faith within our presidents and our schools, and so that we can go to other schools and go, here's your cut. Here's an actual number we're giving you. Whereas we saw with San Diego State, they were going to have to pay an exit fee, and there is no number that they have that they're getting. Now, they're told it's going to be tons, and it's the greatest, and the longer we wait, the more you'll make.
Theoretically, that's how much you're going to get.
But there is no actual number, and when you talk to Colorado, you go, here's your full share. It's this amount of dollars. So whatever you got to get out. Plus, we can poach off of you. Until Big 12 signed that new deal, they were a real easy team, or a real easy conference to poach from because everybody knew it's like, oh, you just got to wait till next year and then you get them. And they don't have to buy out. They just don't sign the new deal.
That's a great point. No, I'm with you. And I love what you said about basically that what Kliavkov is offering is theoretical. Like, theoretically, we could do this. Like, bro, I'm not operating in your theoretical world. I'm talking about what can you get me? What can you guarantee? This is how much money we're going to get if we remain with the Pac-12. And the Big 12, like you said, your mark is offering these teams. He said, hey, man, you're going to get $32 million if you join us right now. We know you're going to get that.
Yeah.
Not some theoretical hypothesis as to what's going to go down.
If you join us.
Yeah,
then.
If you join us. And then we got to add another team. And after that, we're going to add another team. And then another team.
The off-call just cornering people at a party.
I know.
Nah, man, we just need to start this business. All I need is your credit. And then we're going to get this loan, and we will be millionaires.
Then he's sniffing a lot, too, like the guy from Seinfeld. Like, bro, what are you doing? Hold on, I'll go to the bathroom real quick. Like, bro, like, what's wrong with you, man? Why are you so hyperactive right now? Basically, the Pac-12 kind of reminds me of that story. Really, it's a story that we have seen in different industries all throughout time, right, in our society. It's Blockbuster. You are at the top of the the mountain. You are at the hierarchy. They have the richest television contract, the broadcast contract for all of the major college conferences, and they decided at the time that they wanted to the status quo, want to remain status quo. instead of deciding to expand and to grow the brand. And whatever we say, like, if you're not green and growing, then you're dead, rotten.
I was going to say.
You're dying. If you're not growing, you're dying. Essentially, that's the – if you're not disrupting, then you're being disrupted. That's the mentality they should have had the whole time. And I will always remember Blockbuster at one time in 2000. Remember, Blockbuster Video was the ish, man. It was everywhere. That's how you got your entertainment. On the weekends, be like, man, I got to go to Blockbuster on the weekends. Got them new movies out there. Got to see what's going down.
I'm like, man, we got to see it. I mean, you got to return it in 2 days, though.
Hey, don't get them no late fees. Exactly. They came with that false advertising. Exactly. They got in trouble that time. Exactly. But in 2000, Blockbuster had a chance to buy Netflix. And Netflix, remember, they were the newest thing on the block. Mm-hmm. They were mailing DVDs to people. It was seen at the time as being a little ridiculous. Mailing a DVD to somebody? That's crazy. Yep. But you know what? It was the newest thing. They had a chance to buy it. Blockbuster had a chance to buy Netflix for $50 million in 2000.
Yep.
Today, it's worth over $200 billion. And they figured, nah, we'll pass. We're good. There's never going to be a entertainment ecosystem that doesn't need Blockbuster Video.
Gotta have it.
What are you talking about, man? We are the future. Look at these VHS. We're the future.
That's why people don't want to
stay at their home and wait for something. They want to go to a store.
Yeah.
They want to get it right away. They don't want to order it and have it shipped to them.
So now we got a red box.
Exactly.
Now we got a red box.
That's exactly it. So I was like, no, they want to come to this store. They want to get the candy, and they want to look at all the
people like
movies.
Dressing up.
I know, like I said, there was somebody in that meeting, instead of buying Netflix, and said, you know what, let's buy what may be the future. That's pretty good. Why not? Yeah. And now that's standard practice for all these big companies. Any competition, they just buy it. No matter how small it is, how insignificant, they'll just buy the competition up. All the different social media brands and all of these different kind of media data entities, they'll just buy up the competition. They don't even let it get to the point where Netflix can become what it is today. Which could be one of the top streaming entertainment entities in the world. And Blockbuster Video is officially done. I think the last one closed up. Now they're a documentary.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's like they're a documentary now.
I forgot. And guess where that's at? Netflix.
Yeah, Pac-12. You're Blockbuster right now. You're Blockbuster. You're talking about staying at 10 teams. Like, we'll get to 10 teams. We'll stabilize right there. Nope. You're a Blockbuster, man. It's a bad meeting.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, who doesn't want to see that Washington State-Oregon State matchup?
It's Pac-12 football.
Pac-12 football. It's the Pac-12!
It's Pac-12 football. Game starts at 10:45.
Okay, real quick. I want to get to this Gary Patterson news, because this is really good news for Longhorn fans. Reported by my man Bobby Burton. So shout out to Bobby Burton over there at Inside Texas, doing great work on three as well. But Inside Texas is killing it lately, man. They're doing a really good job. So he is reporting that it is possible that Gary Patterson, GP, could return to the 40 acres. Bobby Burns says former TCU head coach Gary Patterson is mulling a return to college football, possibly in a reprised role with the Texas Longhorns. In his first year away from Fort Worth, Patterson was a special assistant to Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian during the 2022 season. He worked primarily with the Longhorn defense and helping specifically with obviously game planning for the teams. I think a lot of it also in the secondary. I pointed out earlier that if you look at the amount of pattern match or match quarters that Texas played, which is kind of a pattern match zone cover four, they played about 54% of that coverage in 2022. That was 33% of their coverages, about a third in 2021. Gary Patterson's last year at TCU, he was a huge match quarters guy. Had, I think, around 54%, actually, of his coverages were match quarters. So that's something he brought directly to Texas and put his fingerprints on it because, as we talked about, PK didn't know the ecosystem of the Big 12 very well. He miscalculated, and then he gets a veteran like Gary Patterson, who knows the terrain very well, knows the players too, gave him scouting reports on the coaches and all that kind of stuff. And then we saw that drastic turnaround for PK. So if you can bring in Gary Patterson back, Harge, along with Paul Christ, along with Joe D. Camillus thrown in the mix there too, Payam Sadat, man, I'll say that Sark is making sure that he can get as much help, leave no stone unturned, as looking for help to get his team the schematic coaching advantage.
Well, and this is the thing that you and I have talked about. Sark has looked himself in the mirror and not been ashamed to bring in other guys to help him.
Yep.
That is a huge thing, especially at a coach with, you know as well as I do, we all have egos when it comes to this type of profession. When you're coaching, you think you know it all. And I'm not saying it in a hubris way. I'm saying it for real. Like, you think you've got it figured out.
Yeah.
That is how I got to this position because I was successful enough. But you also have to understand the humility of it in saying, I don't know everything, so let me bring some other guys in because I'm so active in all the stuff that I got going on. How can these guys come in to help me? And that's exactly what they've been able to do right now with Sark being able to say, ooh, Gary Patterson, the door is always open for you.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary Patterson was like, hey, man, you know what? Remember how you said it was always open? You think you can find a spot for me in here? And Sark's like, yeah. I mean, analyst is always going to be open because you can have as many as you want, I believe. Oh, I don't think there's no rule for an analyst.
Nope, and you can make up titles for people.
Yeah.
As a special assistant to the head coach.
Special assistant to the head coach.
Basically made
that up. Special assistant to the special assistant.
Exactly.
To the head coach. So now you can create some other opportunities, and what better way to have two former head coaches working with the head coach as well.
Yeah, no, I like the move, and hopefully, and I think you'll hear it, you'll hear the news, whether it's him coming back or him deciding that he wants to stay away from the game for a little while longer. You'll figure that out in the next week or so because Texas reports a training camp.
Mm-hmm.
What, Monday?
I believe
Monday or Tuesday.
Tuesday. Press conference
is
Tuesday.
I assume they want to have the coaching staff and everything, they want to have all of that already set up and stable by that time. So maybe the next week we'll find that out, actually. All right, another little nugget here from my man Chip Brown. That was from Bobby Burton. So shout out to Bobby Burton inside Texas over there doing a great job. My man Chip Brown also hustling. He's always hustling, man, trying to find them little nuggets for you. He got his insider piece, so I encourage you to go check it out for yourself. But on his insider piece, one of the pieces that he had that I thought was pretty cool, He talked about Quinn Ewers. So this is a story that he tells after they're working out. He said, quote, I talked to a team source who gave me one of the better nuggets I've heard about Quinn Ewers. He said, last Thursday, after 2 hours of working out in the heat, he said it was 106 that day, Tory Becton, the strength coach, had the team, after the workout, do 10 shuttles, longhorn shuttles they call them, which are shuttles concocted by Becton. Everybody's got their own form of different shuttles. But after that, it's kind of the way to close strong, right? Fourth quarter, we got to finish strong. So you finish strong with them shuttles. It says here, after finishing the 10 shuttle runs, Ewers said, Coach, I'm going to do my Quinn Ewers for a second.
I was like, come on now.
Yeah. Coach, we got 12 games. How about two more?
Man, that might have been a little bit too deep for Quinn.
This is Quinn Wick though.
Oh, Quinn Wick. There it is.
Remember,
this
Quinn Wick. He's a little bit different.
I got you.
I watched John Wick 4 too, by the way.
You did?
Loved it.
Oh my God.
I'm not gonna lie. John Wick 4 is one of those rare sequels that might
be the sequel to the sequel.
It might be as good, if not better, than any of the other ones prior to it.
Oh my God. Okay.
It is it's rare, but they did a damn good job on it. It's really good. Anyway, but yes, so Quinn Wick, basically, after doing the 10 shuttles, all right, after a hard workout with the team, he stood up, stood out, and said, hey, coach, we've got 12 games. How about two more? Let's get 12, because we got 12. And according to the team source, after 2 hours of working out in the heat, nobody groaned, nobody complained, nobody said a damn thing. Whole team just did two more shuttles. That's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you talk about, leadership?
He's a leader.
There you go.
He's a leader, man.
We was talking about that before, right? Like, what is it going to take to be that guy to get over the top? Because
leadership,
remember,
baby.
Last year we were talking about Hudson Card and how he was so quiet and the locker room was gravitating to Coup de Fou?
Coup de Fou.
And you know, watching Quinn and how people were gravitating to him. It's a popularity contest. Now he went and got a fade. Now he's been doing things a little bit different. His body has shredded a little bit more.
The abs.
And now he's like, man, I'm in the best shape I possibly ever can. Let's do two more.
I don't like the haircut.
Let's do two. I do.
But I appreciate him getting it cut.
Yeah.
It's all good. I ain't got to like it. It ain't for me.
It's not for you.
It ain't for me.
Yeah, it's for him.
It's for him.
Yeah.
As long as it makes him a better quarterback, then I'm going to like it. I'm going to learn to like it. It's like Bijan's haircut.
Yep.
Nobody liked Bijan's haircut when we first saw it.
The Predator cut?
But nobody even, I never even seen anybody with that haircut.
Yeah, man.
When Bijan started going out there, wrecking shop on the field, all right, putting dudes all into the spin cycle out there on the football field, looking like a little Barry Sanders, you know what? That hairstyle started to grow on me.
No doubt.
Bijan's hairstyle. And matter of fact, I started to see Bijan's hairstyle on just regular jabronis. And just regular Joe Schmoes out on the street. I went to brunch and saw a dude with a Bijan hairstyle. I'm like, you can't just be a regular person with the Bijan hairstyle. You got to be a star with the Bijan hairstyle.
I'm trying to get it.
You can't do it.
I know I can't.
You got to be a star.
And I can't grow it either.
You can't grow that, man. You can't just be going to work your job at the insurance company with a Bijan style hairstyle.
I can do the Framer Valdez, though.
Remember, so Quinn had the mullet, got rid of the mullet because the mullet caused too. I think he basically said the mullet got him too much attention. He don't want that kind of attention anymore. The type of attention I'm about to get is the type of attention that I have to earn on the field. That's the Quinn Ewers we're dealing with now. He don't need that superficial attention from some mullet and a hairstyle. I don't need that. All right? People going to know me when I walk in the room. They're going to go, damn, that's the best quarterback in the Big 12. Damn, that's All-American Quinn Ewers. Damn, that's Heisman Trophy finalist Quinn Ewers. That's how they going to know me. The mullet, they don't need that.
They don't need that.
I don't need that to market myself to get NIL money. I'm about to get the NIL money by these checks I'm cashing on this field.
Boom.
That's what's about to happen. That's Quinn Wick, baby.
Quinn Wick. I needed him to keep his hair for Quinn Wick.
That's true, too. Yeah. Quinn Wick don't get Quinn Wick's hair a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But I'm loving that he's stepping up in leadership role. I've always said, like, if you've been given the privilege, it is a privilege to lead. Really, work ethic and your commitment, those are just obligations. Those are just responsibilities of having that role as a leader.
No doubt.
So you don't have the luxury not to be the hardest worker out there and not to work hard. And that's what he's doing, man. Hard work. So I love it. All right, we come back. Let's talk about Hard Knocks. There was a statement made by Sean Payton that Hard Knocks is a bad omen.
Ooh.
For teams. We talked about the Jets. Hard Knocks. Watch how that ends. We'll talk about it. What does it mean to be on Hard Knocks? And is it a bad omen for these J-E-T-S Jets?
Come on.
All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie. Wonderful.
He's mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
Oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. So I was thinking about the comments from Sean Payton the other day when he talked about how distracting the Hard Knocks series was going to be for the Jets. And remember, he seemed pretty adamant that he basically calling his shot, even though he backtracked a little bit, calling his shot that the Jets, being with all the pomp and circumstance now surrounding them, that this may be a bad omen for them because they may be distracted as a team. He said, this is a quote from Sean Payton, it doesn't happen often where an NFL team gets embarrassed or an organization gets embarrassed, and that happened here. Part of it was their own fault relative to spending so much effing time trying to win the offseason, the PR, the pomp, the circumstances, marching people around and all this stuff. We're not doing any of that. The Jets did that this year. You watch Hard Knocks, all of it. I can see it coming. Remember when Dan Snyder put the dream team together? I was at the Giants. I was a young coach. I thought, how are we going to compete with them? Deion's there now. That team won 8 games or whatever. So listen, just put the work in. Thought to myself, all right. I wonder if, you know, with his experience, maybe he's looking at it and saying, yeah, you don't want to have that many distractions in your locker room, cameras. It makes it hard for your culture to cultivate with that happening. Right, because the culture is about, you know, the authentic connections in that locker room. And we'll admit sometimes when cameras are around, people aren't the most authentic. Instagram isn't the most authentic place. It's not very genuine. It's a lot of disingenuous behavior.
A lot of filters. A lot of filters.
A lot of fake stuff on there. And so you want to guard against that. You want that locker room to be kind of a sacred place. They call it locker rooms a sacred place, and you violate that sacred place. You violate that sanctity when you bring in a camera. That's what some people believe. But anyway, I started thinking about it. And, you know, when you have a reality TV around, like when you're in a reality TV situation, it can be stressful on whatever organization or whatever people relationship that show is trying to highlight or present. It can be tough on them. I'm forced, because of my wife spending quality time, to watch some Bravo, Real Housewives, and Below Deck, stuff like this. My wife has actually been on a reality TV show before, but that's a discussion for another day.
Wait a minute.
Yes, discussion for another day, though. Yeah, we only got time for it right now. Yes, my wife has been on a reality TV show on Bravo. Anyway, but I digress. So I started thinking about it, and it is tough, because you don't look at all the bachelors and bachelorettes. Speaking of reality TV shows, that I should have gone on The Bachelor. I wanted to be the first black bachelor. That was in my that was part of my ambition. As a young post-NFL player, I was going to get into reality TV. I actually auditioned for The Bachelor, for those who don't know. And I did get a call back, not to be The Bachelor. I was a little disappointed. She said she wanted me to be one of the men on The Bachelorette. And at the time, I had just started dating my wife. I asked my wife, I was like, hey, I'm going to go on this. I actually got it cleared with, like, because I was doing radio at the time, too. I got it cleared radio because Garrett Green, who is the play-by-play voice of the Sugarland Skeeters,
Space Cowboys.
Yes, he actually was there videoing the whole damn thing. So I got a witness to it, too. And went down there anyway, auditioned. She thought, she said, you're great. She said, I think you got a chance to be a star on the show. Not on The Bachelor, but on The Bachelorette, one of the guys. And I was like, honestly, I'll win the whole damn thing. I told my wife, I said, listen, when I win the whole damn thing, because I'm just that damn good,
yeah,
I'm going to reject that skank on TV, and I'm going to propose to you on TV. I told her, I said, I'll propose to you on TV. Now, you ain't got to marry me, because at the time, they won't be able to tell whether you say yes or no, but it'll just be very dramatic, and it'll get me another reality TV show. I'll be the next. By the way, if you reject me, I'll be the next bachelor anyway. It'll be work out either way. I had the plan in place, dog. It was brilliant. She said no. She said, I'll break up with you if you go on that show. And I decided, all right, you know what? I kind of like her. So we did not go on the show. Still to this day, she should let me go on the damn show. By the way, and then she went on a reality TV show later.
Financially, we'd be different.
We'd be different. Yeah, you'd both be set right now.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So she was thinking small-minded. I was on the biggest
stage. Rachel Lindsay got on that show. And
I know.
She's from here, too.
That's what I'm saying. Your boy would do. I had to plan set. I already knew how reality TV show worked. I was going to go up there, make a big deal. It's got to be a controversy. Me rejecting her was going to be the controversy. Rejecting the bachelorette at the time. Reject her on national TV. Don't tell anybody. And then propose to a woman on air. And you know who I told to that plan to? I told it to Chris Sims. Because he was asked to do The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And I said, dude, do The Bachelor. Go through all the women. Come here, Jesse Palmer did it.
Yep.
And I said, and then propose to your now wife, Danielle, on air. Live on it, she'll love it, everybody'll love it, and you'll be a star. He didn't do it. He said he was taking his football career too seriously.
Nervous.
But I digress. Getting back to reality TV and the stress that it can have on relationships, do you know how many of the bachelor, bachelorette couples are still together? There have been 20 seasons of The Bachelorette, 27 seasons of The Bachelor, and from the research that I've done, I actually did some research on this, so y'all got to give me some props on that one. I found only 10 of those couples together. Still together.
10?
10. So you're talking about 21%.
I know Rachel Lindsay is one of them.
Yeah, so 21% of the couples from The Bachelor and Bachelorette are still together. Because it is. That's a stressful circumstance to meet under.
Yep.
And once that goes away, what you're left with are kind of the remnant or the byproduct, if you will, because your foundation was built on something that was inauthentic, that was disingenuous. It's built on reality TV. That's not real. That's not real life. And I do think there is a fear of that happening when you have a reality TV crew around your football team, especially at the infancy of it, or like training camp. Like, we're just on it. We don't even know who we are as a team yet. And then we got this entity here covering the whole damn thing. It can be very fragile. And so I do think that's why, if you look at the Hard Knocks, there have been 20 teams on Hard Knocks since 2001. Only three have won a playoff game.
Really?
Only three have won a playoff game. won a playoff game.
What was it? One of them, Baltimore Ravens?
I have to go look at my notes. Jets. The Jets are definitely one of them. Yeah. The Jets are one of them. Yep. That's for sure. So it could be history repeating itself. Because I think the Jets are the one team that like made the AFC title game.
Yes. That was with butt fumble.
Yeah, I want to say they made the AFC title game. So maybe the Jets are the team that can kind of, you know, they can break the curse. But it's not a curse, but I think it's just more about the strain and the stress of building the foundation of your team under, like I said, inauthentic, disingenuous circumstances. They can also, and also distracting circumstances where you're not focused on the connection with each other, much like a relationship. You're focused on how do I look in front of these cameras. Like, am I saying the right stuff? Am I looking? And I think that's what Sean Payton was getting at. Now, hopefully, the Jets can avoid. This is why, by the way, this is why the Jets didn't want it. Remember, the Jets didn't want it. No team wanted it this year. Remember, no team wanted Hard Knocks this year. The NFL had to compel the Jets. You're the most interesting team in the NFL. You have to take this concept. You have to take the burden of the Hard Knocks series. But no team wanted it. And remember, by the way. Remember the new quarterback series on Netflix that everybody loves?
Yep.
Now we found out how many quarterbacks rejected it.
Every one of them.
Tua rejected it. Yep. Hurts rejected it. Dak rejected it. Justin Fields rejected it. Why? They're going to say the same thing. You do not want to be one of those couples on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. It's a 21% hit rate or success rate. And probably that's going to drop too. Same thing with the success rate of teams on Hard Knocks. Three of them have won playoff games out of 20 since 2001.
So maybe they're just not good, though.
It could be that, or it could just be, like I said, and I'm sure it's a combination of that, but it could just be, man, it's a really tough situation, like I said, to build the foundation of your culture on. That's the foundation of your culture. You're building. Think about it. That's the beginning of your relationship is on TV, and you're in front of a camera for the first 30 days that y'all met each other, and now you're like, we're in love. Are you really in love? Yeah. Are you really even being your real self?
What's that
with
show?
With all these cameras around and with these people around, are you being your authentic self to help you fall in love with another person being their authentic selves?
Wait, what is that show, 30 Day?
90 Fiancé?
90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah.
Same kind of deal.
But
in reality, though, like, we have cameras in front of us, but we don't even think about those cameras. You don't think about them. I don't think about them. We're just in here.
But we are like literally performing as
I see
our
what you're saying.
Profession.
They're playing football players.
There's also a big difference between a camera and a person holding a camera.
Amen.
There's a very big difference.
Very true.
Because we forget that there's a little tiny thing up there that's filming us. Yeah. But if there was a dude
in the room, if there was a couple dudes in there.
Yeah, that's a great point.
We'd be like, hey man, just meet me in my living room after I take a shower and go to the bathroom.
Every commercial break, stop looking at the camera. Yeah. Stop. You're just staring down the lens. Like, no, don't stare down the lens.
Yeah, and that's what I said. And I totally agree with Patrick on that. And that's what I said. And I actually had this in my notes and I texted brought it up and I'm glad they did. Because the guys that did the quarterback show, Kirk Cousins, they did pretty good. For the Minnesota Vikings. Remember, they didn't win a playoff game though.
They did lose. They lost to the Giants.
They were favored too.
Saquon.
Remember, after setting records, they set records for fourth quarter comebacks. NFL records for fourth quarter comebacks. And I think they set a record because they are the first 13 win team in NFL history to have a negative point differential.
Yep.
So they were
freaky. -3.
They're exceptions -3 to the rule. But I think this is a compliment to Patrick Mahomes and his ability to compartmentalize. Remember, the guy just had a baby too.
Yeah, he did.
So with everything going on in your life, you got to be able to compartmentalize your social life, your personal life, and your professional life. And these guys are obsessed with their professional lives because they're football players. And that just shows you how great Patrick Mahomes is. I'm talking about how much of a distraction these reality TV crews are when they're around teams and how it's led to them having, you know, underachieving as an organization. Now with Patrick Mahomes, he did it. Had him follow him around.
Yep.
Had a brand new baby. Wasn't no big thing. I'm buying up. He's become an owner of different pro teams around town. Ain't no big thing. Ain't nothing distracting me.
No,
I'm going to be the GOAT.
But
a GOAT.
I think he has practice of ignoring his brother.
And he's got an annoying brother.
Yep.
He's just ignoring. He's like, oh, is he filming me again?
Yeah,
all right,
exactly.
Just pretend he's not there. He'll get tired and go away.
That's true. That's a good point. But yeah, there you go. So, and also the All or Nothing, another reality TV show on Amazon Prime, only one of those five teams has won a playoff game.
Yeah.
And that was Arizona the first year they did it. There is something about having reality TV shows and crews around your team that aren't necessarily good for your team. Hey, Longhorn Network, I kid. All right, we'll come back right here on Baltimore Live 104.9 Home.
Too soon.
Yeah.
Rondo Live right here on 104.9 The Horn. 512 Friday, that's when Patrick the Idillionaire plays jams from local bands and artists, very talented human beings, that you have a chance to catch live right here in the ATX. Who are we jamming right now, Patrick?
This is the Soapboxers, and they are playing tonight at Swan Dive.
At the, what is the name of the band?
The Soapboxers.
The Soapboxers. Okay, I like that. All right, 512 Friday. Thanks, my man Patrick, always hooking us up on a 512 Friday. All right, we haven't had time for many of our off the records because we've been over, but it's been well worth it because we have some good stuff from my man Harge, and we have some good stuff. So I haven't got off the record, but next segment I will throw in a couple of off the record topics that we haven't gotten into.
Yes,
so we'll get to those next segment. I just don't want to go too far over here and start diving into it because some of these are pretty interesting. So we'll do some off the record on the other side. Also dive back into NFL news, notes, and nuggets. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.